it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning, Birdland. I'm Mark Brown. I've been covering the Orioles for more than a decade on CamdenChat.com and hosting this podcast for 116 episodes and counting. It is now May the 10th, 2024. The Orioles, they might be in first place and they might not. I'm recording this on Thursday before the Yankees game that's going to break the AL East tie. I'm sorry if you are looking for the first place baby or if we can say it or not. I just don't know. What I can tell you for sure is that the Orioles are once again on pace for a 108-win season. They've now got a 24-12 record through their first 36 games. That is one win better than a year ago. The 2023 O's were 23-13 through the same number of games. Their 36th game was a win, the first of a four-game winning streak. So we'll see over the weekend here against the Diamondbacks if the 2024 Orioles can keep pace with those guys. It is 22.2 repeating percent of the season that is now in the books. The Orioles, they are 15-6 against teams with above 500 records. So that's 9-6 against everyone else, which is also not bad, although you'd like to kind of do better against the bad teams, but whatever. But you know what? A lot of things are going right for the 2024 Orioles, and most of them are things that we can reasonably hope will continue going right. And I don't want to lose sight of that completely because you know what? The Orioles are splitting a pair of games on the road against a Nationals team that seems like it's nearing or maybe even starting its rise out of the bottom. That's not a bad outcome. The Orioles, they did just enough over those two games to continue the sweepless streak. Now at 103 series, which is still the length of Adley Rutschman's major league career, plus one series before that. And, you know, Wednesday's game that they won, they had multiple crucial things go wrong late in the game. And the Orioles still won it anyway. So I think that's a pretty good marker of a good team. And that's good. All of that is good. But also, Craig Kimbrel pitched on Wednesday. He had 3 days rest. He was facing the 6, 7, and 8 hitters of a not particularly good Nationals lineup. Those guys are the reason why the Nationals lineup is not particularly good. He couldn't get it done. He's now got 3 blown saves and has not finished the 9th inning in 4 of his last 5 appearances. That was the outing that really made me feel like, okay, it's time to jump off the Craig Kimbrel ship. Maybe I'm doing so prematurely. I don't know. But I feel like previously you could kind of make excuses like, well, he needed a little more rest. You know, maybe he's got a tough time doing back-to-back games or whatever. And, you know, that Wednesday game, he had the 3 days of rest. It's not like it was consecutive games. It's not like he'd done 5 times in 9 days or whatever. And he just blew it. He even got 2 outs and then blew it against the 8, 9, and 1 hitters before the Orioles summoned Keegan Aiken to face the lefty CJ Abrams, who's hitting lefties very well this year. But whatever, the result was a blown save for Kimbrel, but not, thankfully, a walk-off loss for the Orioles. So after the game, after the 12-inning marathon, manager Brandon Hyde told reporters in response to a question about Kimbrel, quote, "We're going to stick with him. This guy's got a big-time track record. He's a Hall of Famer, and we need to get him right because he's big for us. It's important that we get him right." That was end quote. So Kimbrel, so far this year, He's now got a 4.73 ERA. His whip, that's walks plus hits per innings pitched, 1.5. A big reason why it's 1.5 is because he's walking 6.1 batters per nine innings. You know, when those are your numbers for your closer, you don't have a closer. You have a problem. The guy with his big-time track record is true. That doesn't matter much if he can't do it anymore. Now, he does still have some good things going for him. Kimbrel has struck out 14.1 batters per nine innings so far this year. Based on his Statcast profile, that's pretty much the only thing he's got going right for him. Because batters, they're not chasing his pitches out of the strike zone, probably because they know he's wild. And when they do connect in the zone, they are connecting pretty hard. A lot of hard contact, although there is still a pretty high whiff percentage. So Kimbrel is fooling them a lot in the strike zone, even if he is not fooling them outside of the strike zone. At this point, the signing, it's starting to remind me of the Mike Gonzalez and Kevin Gregg signings of early in the previous decade. Now, those guys got two-year deals from Annie McPhail, and Kimbrel, he didn't get a multi-year deal. And also, in fairness, Kimbrel's best of his career was better than the best of either Mike Gonzalez or Kevin Gregg. Those guys, they were cooked and a waste of time. Is Kimbrel cooked and is he wasting our time? I don't know. But, you know, it's even worse if Kimbrel is, because the 2024 Orioles games, the team is good. They need to get this, you know, have the closer be good so that they can win as many games as they can, get the best postseason position that they can. Everything means more when you're good compared to when you are perpetually mediocre, as the Orioles were when they were signing Gonzalez and Gregg. So, I mean, what is Hyde going to do, right? He can say whatever, but I think just within that one statement, the idea that we're going to stick with him and the idea that we need to get him right, those things are in tension with one another, because you can't stick with him if he's not right. You need to do something to get him right, and then you can say, okay, we're going back to him. It's not going to work if you stick with him when he's not right. We see that right now. Again, three blown saves in his last five appearances and couldn't complete the ninth in four of his last five appearances. It's not going to work if you need to have a seventh-inning guy, an eighth-inning guy, Kimbrel, and a guy who needs to be ready to bail out Kimbrel, hopefully, if you can bring him in before Kimbrel has blown the game. You can't do it. You might even need a sixth-inning guy. You can't have that many guys lined up. You need things to go better. You need to be able to count on your ninth-inning guy. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. It's important that we get him right. Really similar rhetoric to what was said by Mike Elias and Hyde about Chris Davis earlier in their tenures. Not a super comparable situation, I guess. Maybe a bit closer in terms of the way they talk about him, like Buck Showalter would bring up the track record when talking about Chris Tillman in the 2017 season, when Tillman was just absolutely awful. Stick a fork in him, he's done. You know, once you're done, once you're toast, the track record doesn't matter anymore. Kimbrel is 36 years old later this month. So for baseball players, that's pretty old. I don't know what's going to happen. Whatever it is, I still think for Hyde, getting Kimbrel to buy into the plan, it's going to be part of his challenge. Maybe it's going to be kind of the greatest personnel challenge he's managed as the manager, probably in the last 3 years, going back to when the team started its rise in the 2022 season. Maybe his whole tenure. I don't know. You know, Kimbrel, he's had stretches of being very good in the last two seasons, particularly 1 year ago. He did have two bad months, but four pretty good ones a year ago. And again, it's not like he was bad in September overall, and that he was obviously toast, although he did, as everyone by this point knows, have some high-profile meltdowns in the NLCS, and that's a big part of why the Phillies did not make it into the World Series last year. So he was also good before in the two rounds before that, though. So I don't know. He's just prone to bad stretches. In a previous era of my life, I would hear occasionally from Yankee fans about there was always every week or every year there was one week that they would just call "What's Wrong with Mariano Rivera Week?" And Rivera, Hall of Fame closer, still nonetheless, he seemed to have a week to 10 days, you know, five or six games or whatever every year where everyone's like, oh my God, is this the end? Whatever. Kimbrel, his mess is going on a little bit longer. They tend to torpedo whole months instead of just weeks. But even very good closers go through rough patches. And I guess we'll see what Kimbrel is able to bounce back from or not. I fear that the Orioles are maybe going to fall for the sunk cost fallacy because Kimbrel, they signed him for $13 million. They don't want to waste that money, quote unquote, by getting rid of him. You know, the idea of the sunk cost is the money is gone no matter what, and winning is what matters. And really, I might not even be the sunk cost being the money so much as the Orioles brain trust, Mike Elias and whoever, decided, okay, Kimbrel is going to be good, and they got to keep trying to figure out how to make him good because they decided he was good, and therefore he has to be good, right? But maybe they were just wrong. Maybe they just have to accept the judgment was wrong. I don't know. A bad 2 weeks? It could just be a bad 2 weeks. Based on his last 2 years, there's probably going to be another bad 2 weeks in the second half of the season. But you don't want to get rid of a guy who has productive potential. The Orioles, I mean, they're still going to need bullpen help this year. And if the help is Kimbrel does better, that's good. But I don't know when enough will be enough for the Orioles. Because, again, at this point, Kimbrel, he's got an identical ERA to Mike Bauman, who we all pretty much want to get rid of. He's got a worse walk rate than Bauman. I think right now, an injured list stint and then a rehab assignment because of the back injury he had about a week ago, really a week and a half now, I think that's the most elegant solution for the Orioles to get him right, as Hyde said. And that's, I don't know, that's up to Kimbrel to agree that he is hurt enough, if he is in fact hurt, to go on the injured list. But I don't know, you know, but for now, whether it's Kimbrel on the injured list or not, like, who's going to close games if not for him? I guess the candidates are Albert Suarez, Yennier Cano, and Jacob Webb, maybe by committee. Maybe one of them would be anointed closer in Kimbrel's absence. I don't know. Suarez, I mean, he was a fun story in the rotation. His stuff maybe feels like it could slide into the bullpen. You know, he's got some closing genes in the family because his brother, Robert Suarez, is in fact the closer for the San Diego Padres this season. Cano, he doesn't have the strikeout stuff, maybe about a strikeout per inning, but you'd really like a little bit more than that for getting strikeouts if you get in a jam or if you're needed in extra innings, which is what we saw with Felix Bautista a year ago. As for Webb, he's got a 4 strikeout to walk ratio. That's a great ratio. Well, pretty good. There are better ones. A sub-1 whip for Webb. 1.65 ERA so far this year. FIP is pretty good in the low twos. Whether or not one of these guys steps up, I feel the situation is unchanged. The Orioles probably do need to get a bullpen upgrade from somewhere, be it a trade in July or even if they strike sooner. Hopefully a more consistent guy than they got last year when they traded for Shintaro Fujinami. I don't know. One thing we can probably assume is that Grayson Rodriguez's return is going to kick someone into the bullpen who's currently in the rotation. So when is that going to happen? Well, he started throwing from the mound, a mound, on Wednesday. Does that mean he's going to be back in 2 weeks? I don't know. The Orioles are kind of being cagey about his timeline. Hyde intimated the Orioles may not even decide to send Rodriguez out on a rehab assignment if he is not gone for long enough. I feel like Rodriguez has already been on the shelf long enough that you would at least want to have him make one rehab start, but I don't know how the Orioles think about it. What I do know is Rodriguez has not pitched since April 29th, and it's probably, if he's only starting to throw off a mound now, not going to be back for, again, 10 days, 2 weeks. Like, I don't know what you do there. When he's back, what do? Do you send Dean Kramer to the pen? Is it Cole Irvin? Both of those guys, they pitch well lately against some bad offenses. I mean, adding those guys into the pen, does that even strengthen the bullpen if it doesn't add to guys in the back end, 7th, 8th, 9th inning mix? I don't know. But the Orioles, they got to figure out something. That is what I do know. And Hyde says for now they're sticking with Kimbrel. I kind of dread that if they're really going to keep throwing him out in the ninth inning. I am wondering if maybe there's some ambiguity in what Hyde said, but we'll find out maybe as soon as tonight if the Orioles carry a narrow lead into the ninth inning. I will be right back after a message from a Fans First Sports Network sponsor, and then it's time to look at the next Orioles opponent, the Arizona Diamondbacks. As a quick reminder, you can email CamdenCastPod if you have a question or topic for a future episode to get into the mailbag. You can also drop into the comments on Camden Chat and find me there, where I go by the name EatMoreSK, and just let me know you've got something you would like to get into the mailbag. So, the Arizona Diamondbacks. In 2023, they had an underwhelming 84-78 record that actually outperformed their even more underwhelming 80-82 Pythagorean expected record based on their run differential, but all of that was good enough to slip into one of the National League wildcard spots. They got into the playoffs. They got hot and lucky in the playoffs. They got into the World Series. They lost in five games to the Texas Rangers, who were frankly another team that needed to get hot in the postseason. They were muddling along through the last couple months of the regular season. As we know, they did get hot in the postseason, rode it all the way to a trophy. As for this year, so far, the Diamondbacks, they have an 18-20 record. They're rocking a middle-of-the-pack offense, maybe a little bit better than middle-of-the-pack. They, entering Thursday, were sixth place in the National League across the board of batting average, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage as a team. Not as good in the pitching department, 12th in the NL with like a 4.83 ERA. I might have written this down wrong. I'm sorry. 4-point-something bad. That's why they're 12th in the NL. They are 7.5 back in their division, NL West, but only one game back of another wild card berth, because if the season ended today, a 500 team would make the NL wild card. In fact, there are three National League teams right now who have 500 records. That is the Padres, Mets, and Nationals, all at 500. I don't know how that tiebreaker would be broken. Not looking into it. Sorry if you really care. But, you know, so the Orioles, they really need to cash in on the interleague stuff this year, because there's only five NL teams really showing any kind of strength. And the Diamondbacks, they're certainly not one of them. So whatever they've done so far, how are they doing it? Well, with the offense particularly, their best hitter is outfielder Jock Peterson, longtime Dodger, although now he's mostly a DH with Arizona. He's got a 950 OPS after a pretty good game on Thursday. Another excelling Diamondback is second baseman Ketel Marte. They've got former Oriole Christian Walker, who is now in his age 33 season. He's still going along pretty well. He's got an 861 OPS this year, 14.3 career WAR. Not really worth lamenting too much, but, you know, Dan Duquette re-signing Chris Davis and Mark Trumbo when he had Trey Mancini and Christian Walker in the high levels of the minors ready to go really aged poorly. Probably doesn't matter now. We're far enough along. Walker would have just gotten traded out in the rebuild. Whatever. They've also got a guy named Blaze Alexander. Great name. 845 OPS in 27 games. Overall, this is a much worse hitting team on the road. They've only got a 684 OPS on the road. That's not counting whatever they mustered in Cincinnati on Thursday. Averaging 4.7 runs scored per game. So there's something. It would be nice if the Orioles are able to take advantage. Pitching-wise, the Diamondbacks, they brought a 5.83 ERA so far in May into their game on Thursday. Their rotation is not very good, other than Zach Gallen, who we are going to see in the coming three games. The Diamondbacks, they've got four pitchers on the injured list, including former Oriole Miguel Castro. Their bullpen, kind of fluid. They've only got five guys who've thrown at least 10 innings of relief. The Orioles have seven such guys. Their closer, although he didn't get the save on Thursday because he pitched the eighth inning, is Kevin Ginkle. He's got a 3.14 ERA, a 1.186 whip. Those are not elite numbers, but we wish that Craig Kimbrel had numbers like that so far this year. We'd be feeling a lot better about him if he did. Ginkle has thrown 32 pitches in the last 2 days, so we might not actually see him in the series, whether it's the ninth inning, the eighth inning, or whatever, before Sunday's game. At least the Orioles seem like they tend to give a guy 2 days off after that many pitches in 2 days. Also in the Diamondbacks bullpen, lefty Joe Mantiply, 3.52 ERA, but 2.25 FIP so far this season, maybe due for some positive regression. Their best reliever by results to date is Ryan Thompson, very anonymous name, but a 1.23 ERA, 2.07 FIP so far in the 2024 season. For the starting pitching matchups over the weekend, they should, I say should, favor the Orioles two out of the three games. But as we know from some recent unpleasant experience, Orioles offense versus bad pitcher does not always mean good results for the Orioles offense, even though the Orioles offense has proven itself to be pretty darn good this year. We'll get a test of that right away tonight as Brandon Pfaadt, a 25-year-old righty, 5.72 ERA a year ago. He's better, but still kind of bad in the 2024 season, a 4.61 ERA across seven games started. He's maybe due for some positive regression, a 3.28 FIP, and he's got a 7 strikeout-to-walk ratio. So that's good for him, but the Orioles are not big on walking to begin with. They have the second fewest walks of all American League teams. So I don't know. We'll see how that trend plays out. The Orioles are going to have Cole Irvin going out. He's got a 2.86 ERA. I still can't believe that. I also still think Irvin is probably pitching to keep his job beyond whenever Rodriguez comes back, because I don't think the Orioles are going to believe Cole Irvin is going to keep doing that. Saturday afternoon's game, the Diamondbacks starter is Ryan Nelson. He's got a 5.23 ERA over five starts. Here's another guy who was bad last year and bad so far this year. He throws pretty hard, 73rd percentile fastball, but he also limits the walks, 74th percentile walk rate in StatCast numbers. The Orioles, they've got John Means going. Really, really encouraging first outing for him. But that was against the Reds, a bad offense. He's going to have to face a tougher opponent here, and notably one that really punishes lefties, as they brought an 866 OPS, the Diamondbacks did, when facing left-handed pitchers into Thursday's game. Sunday, Mother's Day series finale, Diamondbacks are sending out against Zach Gallen. He's a 28-year-old righty, 2.84 ERA so far this season. 2 years ago, he had a sub-1 whip over the full season, 184 innings. Last year, a big, durable guy, 210 innings pitched, which is awesome for him. He's been pretty good since his debut in 2019, really at least a decent pitcher every year since then, and that's why he's got a 3.19 career ERA over six seasons. You know, you pretty much got to have your hope that every young starting pitching prospect can somehow end up like Zach Gallen. That's pretty much the best reasonable outcome you can ever hope for a guy. The Orioles, they've got Dean Kramer pitching on Sunday. I think he's also kind of pitching for his job whenever Rodriguez comes back. He's been pretty good for his last three games, and he's going to have to find a way to keep that going as he gets, again, the one tough, on paper, Diamondbacks starting pitcher as his counterpart on Sunday afternoon. Are the Orioles going to be up to winning two out of three? I would sure like to see them do it, but that doesn't mean it's guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed. So they got to play well if they're going to keep winning games. They've been doing it, winning two out of every three games through their first 22% of their games, which is fun. But again, there's a 77.7 repeating percent of the season left. So they got to keep it going. And hopefully they will be able to do it just like they did a year ago. That's all that I've got for today. If you've enjoyed this show, please subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform and tell an Orioles fan in your life about it as well. Thank you, everyone, for listening and subscribing. I will be back on the regular schedule on Monday morning to talk about whatever has happened in Birdland between now and then. Hopefully, a fun series over with the Diamondbacks over the weekend. Good Morning Birdland is a Camden Cast production on the Fans First Sports Network. This is Mark Brown, signing off.